Lecture 11, The First Peloponnesian War.
In this lecture, I plan to deal with the First Peloponnesian War, which is usually dated between 461 BC and 446/5. That is the Athenian calendar year I discussed earlier, where their year is a lunar. It runs from midsummer to midsummer. So 446/5 would mean the second half of 446 and the first half of 445 BC in the Gregorian calendar. Somewhere in that point, what is known as the 30 Years' Peace was concluded, probably in 445 BC in the spring, maybe May or early June, before the Athenian elections. This war is significant for several reasons, and I mentioned in the very first lecture that it starts a series of wars, of which the Great Peloponnesian War is the centerpiece, in which Athens and Sparta clashed over the hegemony of Greece. Thucydides deals with this war only in passing. He gives us a very summary account. We depend on other sources such as Diodorus Siculus, writing in the 1st century BC, who provides a great deal of information and confirms a great deal of Thucydides' chronology. The biographies written by Plutarch, notably the biographies of Cimon and Pericles, and then later sources, including such sources as scholiasts, Byzantine scholars who commented on ancient texts and provide information that otherwise we don't know. For instance, the amount of the bribe paid to King Pleistaenax by Pericles, or the supposed bribe, in order to conclude the 30 Years' Peace. So we have a diverse set of information. We also begin to get large numbers of inscriptions, public monuments erected in stone at Athens. And this comes about because of the pushing of radical democratic reforms by Pericles. As Athens increased the participation of the citizen body in many ways, there was also a desire to record in stone and in public records any kind of decree passed by the Athenian assembly. And as a result, there is a whole subfield of epigraphy, that is the study of inscriptions, which deal with these documentary inscriptions that provide information that is invaluable on the administration of the Athenian Empire and indirectly on how the allies of the Delian League came to view the Delian League as an empire and resent Athens as a tyrant city. And this is a type of documentation that becomes increasingly common in classical and then Hellenistic and Roman times, but was comparatively rare before the radical democracy of Athens because you were dealing with traditional societies and there wasn't the need to set up law codes or public inscriptions about decrees in stone or bronze for everyone to read. Well, with that information about this particular war, there's one other point I want to drive home about it and why it's different from the Great Peloponnesian War. For one, the Athenians had an overwhelmingly important strategic advantage. That is, the Spartans could not invade Attica. The war erupted in 461 BC when the Athenians admitted into alliance Megara and so gained control of the strategic passes through which a Peloponnesian army would invade Attica and either force the Athenians to fight or besiege the city of Athens. That was never really an option for the Spartans or Peloponnesians during most of this war. And the loss of Megara for well over almost 15 years drove home to most Spartans the strategic importance of that ally, and they regretted the fact that they had not attended on Megara immediately when there was a dispute and this alliance had come about. This is a very important point to stress. It's a point that is not stressed by Thucydides in the final crisis of 432 BC when the Athenians passed something known as the Megarian Decree, which the Spartans and the Peloponnesians can only look at as tantamount to an act of war and an effort to break the Peloponnesian League's strategic advantage. So Megara's importance comes out throughout this war. Second, the Athenians fought the Peloponnesians largely as a sideshow in comparison to other operations going on. Now, this may not have been what Pericles wanted. Pericles emerges in 461 BC as the undisputed radical democratic leader.